This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson here in the studio. All of your headlines and news. We'll also be hearing a report from Jamie Dickerman in Kansas City for the National Farm Broadcasters Convention. And we go to Kansas City at the National Farm Broadcasters Convention. One of the biggest topics on everyone's mind there is the markets and where we go from here. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Jamie Dickerman reports.
Total Farm Marketing Senior Market Advisor Naomi Bloom says both grain and livestock markets are under pressure this week. She points to technical selling, seasonal trends, and a lack of fresh bullish news as key drivers in the downturn.
Yeah, I think what we have for the markets today is a lot of buy the rumor, sell the fact. So we, of course, had great soybean rally on the ideas that China was going to come in and buy, and they have. We had, between the last 2 days, 1 million metric tons of bean sales announced, which is, of course, a blessing. Everyone is thankful for it, but the market had already priced it in. So now we're seeing the markets a little lower today because of just a little technical selling and not enough fresh news to justify the markets to go any higher.
Bloom says seasonal patterns are also influencing the tone in the markets, with all three major grains often seeing late November pullbacks. She adds that any setback still comes against the backdrop of strong demand.
Also a little bit of a seasonal tendency for a pullback in the end of November for corn, beans, and wheat. That's always a strong possibility from a seasonal standpoint. But in the end, I think any pullback is welcome because we still have really good demand for our grain products overall. Exports really strong, and then as well as domestic demand as well.
Livestock markets also posting losses, and Bloom says traders are testing support levels ahead of that upcoming cattle on feed report.
I think I saw this morning that the pre-report estimate for the on feed number was about 98% of a year ago. So if we see that, part of that in a way is priced into the market, but we're going to really want to see the deep core numbers that could potentially influence things, because we know it that cattle herds are not rebuilt overnight. But we're also balancing the administration right now that's trying to bring beef prices down for the consumer. So it's going to be a tug of war, but maybe the cattle on feed report will give us something friendly to focus on for a couple weeks.
Bloom says traders will be watching the cattle on feed report closely and monitoring South American weather as winter approaches, noting that strong demand remains a bright spot even as markets absorb technical pressures. Reporting from the NAFB convention in Kansas City, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Spotty rain showers moved in this morning and will continue through the day with overcast skies and highs near 40 degrees. Tomorrow we'll see clouds diminishing with highs in the upper 30s and low 40s. High pressure clears the skies Friday, allowing morning lows in the 20s and afternoon highs in the 30s and low 40s. A warm front on Saturday brings highs in the mid-40s and possibly low 50s under partly cloudy skies through Sunday. Early next week remains quiet with near-average temperatures, though there's a slight chance for a wintry mix on Tuesday. Forecasters are watching for bigger changes around Thanksgiving, including colder temperatures and the potential for snow, with details still uncertain. World Weather Incorporated reports that Brazil's weather pattern may be shifting as long-running dryness in the north shows signs of easing. Subsoil moisture remains low and some crops are stressed, but timely rainfall expected today through Friday should help stabilize conditions. Broader forecasts call for rain across all of Brazil during the next 2 weeks, offering relief to the center-west and northeastern areas that have faced a recent dry bias. In Argentina, dry weather continues today before rain returns Thursday and Friday. The pattern then flips back to several dry days, with only light scattered showers expected next week. While no extreme heat is forecast, World Weather says net drying may become more noticeable by late next week and into the final days of November, with a lighter rainfall bias in eastern Argentina expected to continue into December. National Cattlemen's Beef Association's joining the crowd, speaking out in favor of the new Waters of the U.S. proposed rule change. Chief Counsel Mary Thomas Hart on the new rule proposal.
Coming into the new administration, we kind of urged EPA to let WOTUS lie, focus on other priorities. But we said, you know, if you're going to rewrite the WOTUS rule, if you're going to give us a new definition of WOTUS, make it really good. And certainly EPA delivered on that promise. So today we saw an announcement of a new proposed WOTUS definition that very nearly follows NCBA's exact recommendations, not only to EPA in prior administrations, but also to the Supreme Court in our amicus brief written in 2023.
The proposed rule change adheres to the Sackett decision by the Supreme Court that requires wetlands to have a continuous surface connection to a jurisdictional water body like a river or lake to fall under federal protection.
You know, I think it's important to start with the Sackett decision that we got from the Supreme Court pretty recently that put EPA in a much smaller box when it comes to asserting federal jurisdiction over waters and water bodies and wetlands across the United States. The unfortunate part of that decision was that it was dropped during an administration that was maybe reluctant at best to follow it. So we had some kind of half-hearted attempts to implement that rule, and that was what we saw in the WOTUS definition that came out of the Biden administration. Fortunately, we have an administration that really saw that Supreme Court decision for what it was and worked really hard to put together a definition that balances protection of our nation's natural resources with protecting the interests of farmers and ranchers.
President Donald Trump announced many fertilizers used by U.S. farmers will be exempt from reciprocal tariffs. The Fertilizer Institute called the move extremely positive for the industry. TFI President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch said the U.S. relies on both domestic production and imports to meet demand during spring planting and fall application periods. Rosenbusch added that a stable fertilizer market is essential to supporting farmers and ensure affordable food prices for American families. Omaha Steaks President and CEO Nate Rempe says American families may face $10 a pound ground beef next year. Rempe says shrinking cattle supplies and strong demand are driving prices higher, and relief likely won't come until 2027. Rempe adds that ranchers holding back heifers to rebuild herds will keep supplies tight in the meantime. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you are listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Third quarter financial results continue to show a challenging year across farm country. Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis Regional Outreach Director Joe Mahone says their latest survey of agricultural lenders in the 9th District shows farm cash flow remains under pressure.
Lenders told us that farm incomes decreased relative to a year ago. Capital expenditures, that is purchases of equipment and buildings and other capital by farm operations, was also down quite a bit. And this is a sort of a recent change from trend. Household spending was flat overall. Even over the last few years, as we've seen falling incomes and falling capital spending, the consumer spending by farm households has continued to stay pretty strong. So that's a change in the results of the survey.
Mahone says the tighter cash situation is pushing more farmers to borrow, and that is being met with rising loan rates and shifting land economics.
Obviously, given the tighter cash picture, higher loan demand, and the rates of repayment on loans are down. I mentioned earlier that we're seeing continued growth in land values. We do ask these lenders about the price of an acre of land in their region, and we make a year-over-year comparison. Land values are up, cash rents on an acre of land are down, and the outlook for the rest of this year is rather negative.
As families gather for Thanksgiving, North Dakota livestock brand owners are being encouraged to bring their brand renewal forms along. Joan Zimmerman, brand recorder for the North Dakota Stockmen's Association, says the holiday is a good chance to collect signatures from co-owners who may live far away. North Dakota law requires brands to be renewed every 5 years, and brands not renewed by January 1st, 2026 could disrupt livestock marketing. So far, about 7,300 of more than 20,000 brands have been renewed, and Zimmerman urges owners to meet the December 31st deadline to ensure their brand is included in the 2026 North Dakota brand book. U.S. sales of agricultural tractors fell 19% in October 2025 compared to last year, while combine sales dropped 27%. Canadian tractor sales were down 11%, with combine sales falling 17%. Kurt Blades of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers says the declines follow a small September uptick, but reflect ongoing market uncertainty. The biggest U.S. tractor drop was in four-wheel drive models, down 56%, and year-to-date combine sales are 38% below last year. As farmers look ahead to the 2026 growing season, lenders are beginning to review operating lines of credit requests. Ag and Business Legal Strategies Associate Attorney Austin Pfeiffer says bankers will want a clear picture of next year's financial expectations, starting with a solid cash flow projection.
What are you going to plant? How much is it going to cost to put in? How much do you expect to make taking it out? They want to see that you have a good margin on that. You're not just barely scraping by, but you've got enough profit so that there's some protection for the bank if things turn south.
Pfeiffer says an accurate, updated balance sheet is also essential for securing a line of credit.
They want to see that you've got more than enough money to meet your short-term obligations with short-term assets. In general, they'll want to see that you're solvent too. They've got ratios they're looking for that their regs and policies provide for that say, okay, when these numbers are in this range, the loan's probably going to be good.
More good news for farmers here with the announcement that major fertilizers will be immune to tariff rates going forward. StoneX Vice President of Fertilizers Josh Linville says the news really only affects urea and phosphate, but it's still good for farmers nonetheless.
With any of this kind of stuff, there's always a lot of confusion on what is, what isn't, that kind of stuff. My best understanding today is that things like urea and phosphate are included, so they are no longer going to have a tariff rate on them. Potash is not, but then again, potash has never been subject to any of it because most of the stuff comes from Canada, and that potash is part of the North America Trade Agreement, so it hasn't had anything. Our second biggest supplier is Russia, and again, no tariffs, no sanctions, nothing like that. So potash doesn't need anything in that terms.
Nitrogen markets are closely watching India and China.
There's two big things that we're watching very closely. Number one is the ongoing India urea purchase tender, which I've lost count on what number this is for 2025, but it's been a lot. We are not surprised at all that they came out with a tender. We knew after they kind of quote-unquote failed the last one to come anywhere close to their purchase tender tonnage goal, we knew they were going to be back to buy another round. The other big piece that we're watching is China's export approach. They had put an end date of October 15th on their export submissions, and we thought, okay, there's no extension, there's no word of it, so they were just going to say we're done. Fortunately, they've come out. It sounds like they're going to export it.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Hanson Mueller Grain Company has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The Omaha-based company reports an estimated 1,000 to 5,000 creditors and lists between $100 million and $500 million in liabilities. Viterra and Cargill are the two largest unsecured creditors. And mental health issues can affect anyone. An Upper Midwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center Director, Jeff Bender, says they've been hard at work gathering mental health resources for rural communities.
One of the issues that came to me is the issues that happen on farm. And one of the things that repeatedly we were getting and says, you know, there's, you know, the farm economy's not doing good. You know, there's new disease moving through. There are all these stresses and challenges and uncertainties. You know, I quickly had to adapt. And not being a mental health expert myself, what I did do is I actually, you know, was able to bring together folks who did and actually then to consolidate that work. You know, this has been something that's been bubbling over the last 10 to 15 years. And I think the good news is that we've been hearing that message and we actually been trying to respond to that message.
Bender says it can often take a community to support a community.
So part of that is just kind of equipping, you know, our community. And I think that we've got a number of places that actually are supporting that. We've got a number of our extension folks that are really, you know, really have taken a full step forward as supporting many of our rural communities to provide mental health structures and kind of where do you go. Also, our health system has stepped up too and say, hey, how do we do this better? How do we actually provide some support for some of our rural communities? And even our Department of Agriculture has, you know, provided a number of, you know, opportunities and outreach of how do we best, you know, reach out to folks and support folks.
Checking quotes, December wheat Minneapolis 2.5 lower to 580.25. Chicago December wheat's 11.25 lower to 535.25. KC hard red winter wheat's 11.25 down at 515. December corn down 7 cents to 429.75. January soybeans 16.5 lower at 11.37. December live cattle down 422 to 215.80. November feeders up 65 cents to 341.42. This is the Red River Farm Network.